Chapel service, January 28, 1982, student led with Lee Scripture, student council president speaking.
I will proclaim your greatness, my God and King. I will thank you forever and ever. Every day I will thank you. I will praise you forever and ever. The Lord is great and is to be highly praised. His greatness is beyond understanding. What you have done will be praised from one generation to the next. They will proclaim your mighty acts. They will speak of your glory and majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. People will speak of your mighty deeds, and I will proclaim your greatness. They will tell about all your goodness and sing about your kindness. As we begin a new day, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to stop together and to proclaim your greatness. Father, as we come, we acknowledge the fact that we each face a common problem from time to time, and that is how to love you properly, the one on whom we are so completely dependent. Father, one of the goals of our preaching, of our churches, of our ministry, of those who are committed to train us for ministry, is the increase of love of you and of our neighbor. Teach us this day a proper understanding of what it means to love and of who our neighbor is. Loving is not always easy. Please help us to not be enslaved by the opinions of other people. And Father, we pray too that you would help us to love. Father, thank you for the resource of prayer, which allows us freedom from anxiety, which teaches us trust, and which so often results in peace. We do proclaim your greatness this day, Lord. Amen.
It says on this yellow paper I'm supposed to say words of welcome. Let me just say I know how much it costs some of you to be here because Thursday's your day to sleep in late. And I appreciate it, and I thank Martha for helping me. This chapel was a very difficult one for me to prepare for because I really believe we're called on to praise God with all our hearts, our minds, and our beings. And yet I see in my life and in the lives of others that we don't spend very much time doing that, do we? We get kind of hung up around the everyday problems of life and seem to forget what God has done for us. I thought when Carol proposed the idea of time of Thanksgiving, that we need that as we approach the really rough time of the semester. The last one is over for most of us, and that's behind us, and now we're gearing up for another one. For many of us, it will be our last one. And I wondered why it was that we didn't spend time praising God like we should. I think it's because we spend too much time worrying about things. I wonder where we get the habit of worry, or I suppose it's a habit, something we pick up. I was thinking about my father just the other day and the things that I inherited from him and didn't inherit him. He was 6'2", I just made it to 5'11". My father was thin. He never made it to 200 pounds. I can't seem to make it either on the other side. His hair was red. Mine is brown, or I guess now it's gray. That happens when you reach a little age. He was bald. I still have a lot of mine. But I did inherit one thing from him, and that's the ability to worry. But being a good son, I've honed that a little harder than he did. My father worried about bills and the common things in life, and he really never enjoyed his life until the last few years he was alive and was retired, and the house was paid for, and he had time to be with my mother, and my sister and I were both gone, and I suppose that was one of his biggest worries, that he'd have to support us the rest of our lives. But we both got married and moved out, and he seemed to enjoy life the last few years a lot more than I'd ever seen. Me, I took it a little further. Instead of just worrying about my problems, I took on the problems of everybody else. I did such a good job that if you had something to worry about in high school and college, didn't have time, you could call me up and I'd worry for you. And when there wasn't anything to worry about, that was the greatest time of all, because there wasn't anything to worry about, and that was really something to worry about. And I honed it a little further, because I think as Christians we're called to be involved in the world and to think about the problems we have, but I honed it past that. You know, instead of worrying about the problems of world hunger and people starving in developing nations, I could put that aside and worry about whether I had for supper, well, I should just get pepperoni on my pizza, or well, I should go whole hog and get the whole thing. Instead of becoming involved in this world that's so violent now, with crime on our streets and wars everywhere, I didn't worry about that. I could worry about whether Dirty Harry would be on television this weekend, or The Magnificent Seven, and I had something to watch. Instead of worrying about the unemployment that we're facing in many parts of this country, and the fact that people really don't have the staples of life that we're used to, I could worry about whether I should take my next vacation in the Bahamas or in England. So I found that by a constant application, the art of worrying can get down to where, you know, when you're not doing anything else, you can worry about things. Are any of us going to worry about getting a speeding ticket on the way to class from here? We can worry about whether the dorm will fall down while we're in here, or whether when I go to the library to look for a book, all the books have been checked out today. A lot of heavy stuff we have to worry about. And yet, as we look in the Bible, and I'm particularly interested in Psalms now because I'm taking a course in that, I see that worrying isn't peculiar to me, that the people who wrote the Psalms worried. But in each case, after they lamented the terrible things that other people were doing them, and the fact that at this time in their life they couldn't see God, they always came back to what God had done for them. Now, we are going to have a few minutes of silent meditation here. And when we stop, I'd like to ask you to think of some of the things we have going for us. The friends that you have here, your family who is very supportive of what we're here for the most part, and certainly doesn't, for the most part, get the thanks they should. For the seminary, and the fact that we've got the most caring, open faculty and staff I think you could find anywhere if you were to go ahead and handpick them. And even more than that, what God has done in our lives. You know, the psalmist says that from the moment of conception, he knew us in our mother's womb, and that he lovingly shaped us. How can we but praise him for that alone? And if for nothing else, what he has done for us in his son Jesus Christ. And this is not a past thing that happened 2,000 years ago. This is something that's happening today in our lives, and will be happening tomorrow in our lives, and on through until he completes what he has done in us. You know, I believe it's Ephesians where he speaks of creating a masterpiece in each of us. And if you, I'm not a Greek scholar, and I may be off base on this, but as I understand it, the same word that's used there is the root word we get our word poem from. So while you're pausing this morning for a few minutes before we have our corporate worship, think about what God is doing in each of our lives and how we can use our lives as a thing of praise for Him. Father, what you've done for us in the greatest gift that anyone could receive, your Son. We praise your name, and in his name we pray. Amen. Will you join me in the corporate confession? Almighty God, in Jesus Christ you call us to be servant people, but we do not do what you command. We are often silent when we should speak, and useless when we should be useful. We are lazy servants, timid and heartless, who turn neighbors away from our love. Have mercy on us, O God. And though we do not deserve your care, forgive us and free us from sin through Jesus Christ. Amen. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Our prayer today is that we truly can praise you, not only in glorious song of words, but in the glorious song of our life. We ask that you be with those in our seminary community who suffered loss, who are undergoing tension, who have loved ones in the hospital, and those of us who need the helping touch of you in their lives. We praise you for that. We ask that you be with each of us, strong in the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.